So happy to have with us right now from the Browns Radio Network, analyst and former Browns offensive lineman, Doug Deacon. Doug, how you doing?
Doing good.
Well, just saw this mini camp this past weekend. I know you were there to take it in as well. And I wanted to get some of your overall impressions. I think the common thing most of the people who were there talked about was how crisp and sharp the passing game looked with Brandon Whedon. But there's other parts to this. And from an offensive line standpoint, Doug, which is I know where your focus is usually concentrated, you can look at movement, right? I mean, we can't see much else in the way of without contact. You can't really, I guess, get a great feel for the physicality. But what did you see in the way some of these guys just handled themselves with their foot position and movement and such?
I think as you look at the offensive line, you know, the first thing you notice is the size. But size doesn't matter if you can't move your feet. And obviously the two guys that they drafted, you know, have the ability to move their feet. So, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, so often you have to play in space. And when you play in space, it doesn't matter how big and strong you are. Those guys will run right around you. And both these young guys look like they move their feet very well. And the other thing is, I think, you know, once they get in the weight room and get on the weight program, you'll see even a bigger step by both the offensive linemen.
Doug, is it asking a lot of a guy, let's talk specifically about Mitchell Schwartz, second-round pick from Cal, to just say, and I know this team has done this successfully with Joe Thomas coming in as the third overall pick, saying, okay, plant you at left tackle and be the guy. Be protect that blind side and be everything, you know, that you could be. And I don't know that everyone thought it would be a five-time Pro Bowler at this point, but that's what he is. Is it asking a lot to now say to Schwartz, okay, now you go over to the right side as a rookie and with all that playing that position entails and be not just a guy who fills that starting spot but plays it at a high level?
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing is, you know, when you have a guy like Joe Thomas who's basically a shutdown tackle, you can put the training wheels on the other side. In other words, you can put the tight end over there. You can put the back over there just to, you know, give you a comfort zone so that the quarterback, you know, knows that his protection is going to be solid. And a lot of times they'll take a, you know, offensive lineman, a tackle, and they'll move him and play him at guard the first couple or year or so just to, you know, get him used to the action and the speed of the game. And that way, you know, he's covered on both sides. But when you get a tackle, you know, you're out on an island, but you can kind of make that island a peninsula if you put a tight end next to him, or, you know, if you chip with a running back, just to make sure that your protection is secure.
And strategically, with a guy like Trent Richardson on the team now, knowing that your running game should be in very good hands right off the bat with this guy, I would think that adds to the comfort level, right, of going with a rookie at right tackle, that you, if you know you have this player who might not need a lot in the way of somebody helping him to open holes for him, that too can take some pressure off a young tackle.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, your ability to run the football, you know, just helps the offensive line immensely. And when you've got a running back like Richardson, you know, you're going to be able to run the football. The thing is, you know, you use the pass to set up the run or to run to set up the pass. But when you get, you know, you see a lot of guys that come from a successful program in college. I look at Ohio State. You know, a lot of times, you know, they ran the ball quite a bit. But then when they get to the pros and they come to a team that, you know, is playing from behind and they've got to throw the ball maybe 30, 40 times a game, it's a whole different world. And I go back to Orlando Pace. You know, in his rookie year, he struggled a little bit in St. Louis because, you know, at Ohio State, you know, they were always having success running the ball.
Right.
So the play action fake and everything, the defenses had to honor that. But then when he got to the pros, you know, all of a sudden he's down in St. Louis and they're throwing the ball 30, 40 times, and that's a whole different world. But when you have a running game that, you know, the defensive line, you know, has to honor so they just can't play the run on the way to the passer,
right. Then
all of a sudden things get a lot easier.
Ryan Miller, you mentioned him as the other rookie that was brought into this offensive line, fifth-round pick from Colorado. Certainly looks the part. I mean, 6'7", 321, as a physical presence. But and the thing I looked for from him right away was how light would he be on his feet, because it's still hard to believe that a guy that big could move well enough to play on the inside. But it looked to me, Deke, like he does have that sense. Again, I'm tempering it because it's rookie minicamp and all, and also noticing his ability to bend at the knees. It looked like he did that pretty effortlessly.
Bend at the knees is probably the most important part, because you know you get all these little defensive tackles that are 6'2", 6'3", and you know they have an advantage in the leverage game because, you know, they're going to get up underneath your pads. But the fact that he can bend his knees is a big plus, and he's got the long arm, so that's, you know, another plus. So I think, you know, it's one of those where, you know, you're going to plug him in, play him during the exhibition season, see how he handles it, and hopefully, you know, even at that size, you know, you could go out to the right side and be your swing guy.
Doug Deacon joining us, Browns analyst on the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the interesting thing with Whedon, besides how well he threw the football, was that he pretty much, through this whole minicamp, worked under center. I mean, in even if it was a case of having modified snapping to him, not an actual center doing it because of so few bodies here to handle it, but he was at the line, or he was not working in shotgun, I guess is the point, all but maybe a couple of times. I thought it was significant because he looked comfortable there. That's obviously the offense in which he's going to work, and it's a big change from what he did in college.
Well, it's a big change, and I think over the course of the 3 days, the thing was that was most impressive is how he grasped everything in those 3 days. I mean, each day you could see him take another step, and, you know, by the end of the third day, you know, in the red zone, you know, I think he hit 5 touchdown passes, and, you know, that's what you're looking for, somebody that can execute in the red zone, too, and make good decisions. And I think, you know, the way – you know, he stepped in, and, you know, the first day, boy, there's a lot of pressure on a guy. You know, you're the quarterback, you're the guy they're counting on, and you come out there, and, you know, you got language and verbiage that you're not used to, and you're trying to do the right things, and you're thinking, and when you're thinking, sometimes you're not reacting. But once you grasp it, it's going to be an even better product. But he took giant steps each day, and I think, you know, that just shows, you know, the maturity level that he has from his experience, you know, in pro baseball and being a little bit of an older guy, that you know, this is something that, you know, he's going to grasp pretty quick.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that looked tentative. I didn't see when he was corrected, which wasn't often. I mean, he certainly got coaching and guidance from Mark Whipple, the quarterback's coach. He heard from Brad Childress. You could see him out there giving instruction. Pat Shurmur, all of them taking their turns to point some things out. But number one, there wasn't a ton of that, and number two, when you heard that, you just saw him kind of grasp it and take it in, versus some situations where you and I both know quarterbacks or other players hear this instruction and either it goes over their head or they get annoyed by the fact that they're constantly being corrected.
Well, I think the biggest sign is the fact that the sides of Pat Shurmur's mouth were going up. He was smiling. And, you know, the way he was throwing those, you know, the outs, I mean, the ball was there, and, you know, he was throwing the ball where it had to be. You know, that's, you know, those are the throws you got to make in this league. And, you know, too often, you know, if you hang one out there, it's going to go the other way on you. And he's got the zip on the arm. And he also has, you know, we saw the zip on the arm with Derek Anderson. He had probably a top 5 arm in the NFL. But when it came to the short passing game, he didn't have it. I think Brandon Whedon is a total different creature.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that, of course, is noteworthy from the defensive side of the ball, a lot of attention on John Hughes, the third-round tackle from Cincinnati, and on Billy Winn coming in from Boise State on the sixth round. Those two guys now look like it you know, this team looks prophetic, because and they didn't want to be for this reason with Phil Taylor's injury, but you at least have the sense that looking at those guys, eyeballing them physically, that they look like they could hold their own and give you that sense of picking up some of the slack that's there. I don't know that I look to either guy and say, yeah, that's Phil Taylor, nothing to worry about. I mean, it's a big loss losing Taylor, but I think that there's a chance at least to with multiple people to try to fill that gap.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the thing about Hughes is, you know, when Kent Johnson gets a hold of him and gets him in, you know, real good shape, I think, you know, you'll see even a better product than what you imagined. And it's unfortunate that Phil Taylor, you know, hurt himself, and you know those things do happen. I, you know, had cracked a cartilage in the weight room 1 year working out, and you know it's just something you can't control. Right. But the fact that you got Hughes, you got Wynn, you've got extra bodies, you got young bodies. I mean, this team has gotten a lot younger and a lot faster in just a short 3 year period.
Yeah, you could see that speed too, and you know, of course, at the receiver position, we know with Travis Benjamin. But even again on the defensive side, watching the way a James Michael Johnson moves, watching the way an Emmanuel Acho moves, they cover a lot of ground. I just saw a lot of instinctive presence, and again, where you're not hitting anybody, but you're coming up close and you're showing. I guess if this were contact, I think we'd be impressed with what we see generally.
Yeah, and Johnson, you know, the thing about him was, you know, they played him at all three linebacker spots.
Yeah.
And you know, that's putting a lot on a young guy's plate, especially, you know, you come out of Nevada, not a big program, but you know, he took on the challenge and he handled it pretty well. And you know, depth at the linebacker position is going to be a problem unless you know these rookies, you know, kick up. And I think, you know, Acho and Johnson both showed that, you know, they have that, what, you know, I think Tom Heckert is looking for, that active, quick linebacker
right.
that not only can, you know, play coverage, but he can also, you know, be a blitzer and he can play the run.
Great stuff, Doug. Greatly appreciate you stopping
by.
Second,
you don't want to ask me about Benjamin? You know, as a fellow former wide receiver, you don't want to ask me about this guy? He's the only guy that I've seen here in 20 years that's got skinnier calves than I do.
Yeah, no. As a speed burner,
fly.
I was going to say, yeah,
he can flat out fly, and that's something I think, you know, that this offense lacked, and
yeah,
it's going to be a big plus.
Sure,
you know, because he's got good hands. And
yeah,
he can run. They'll probably have to find ways to, you know, keep him off the line of scrimmage so people don't jam him a lot. But, you know, that speed is something you just, you know, that's something that's been missing on this football team.
You're absolutely right. And again, he looks like such a raw talent that you can mold into something. I mean, you're totally right about that. No, I did not want to overlook him whatsoever, but you're right. I think the excitement's there. I think as a return guy, and I think as a guy, because that's probably going to be the first role, right? I mean, yeah, he'll return, get him involved in the return game. But then with regard to the passing game, yeah, on those third down perimeter plays, you certainly put him out there and get him in that grouping. And it's such a wide open area. Why not?
And the other kid that was impressive was the Cooper kid, you know,
Josh
Brandon Wheaton's wide receiver at Oklahoma State.
I really liked him.
The ball very well,
yep,
and he looks like, you know, one of those Shipley Welker type guys.
Absolutely. No, I'm very, very excited about both those guys. Well, I'm trying to save some material so we can stretch this out in the offseason. But, Doug, thanks very much.
Always a pleasure, Vic.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns standout offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game.